Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Two Dudes in a Mic Podcast, episode 123 with Tori and Max.
Yo.
And today we're going to discuss, well, what are we going to talk about?
First up, we're going to talk about this whole thing with the Proud Boys that's been going on this past week. So, the Proud Boys, the group of self-described Western chauvinists, essentially a group of white supremacists, and a group of dumb assholes for the most part, that extremizes people, radicalizes people into being more white supremacist. They, their name, it's a real silly name, isn't it? Well, that name has been co-opted by gay men who have been posting pictures of themselves with their partners and posting the hashtag Proud Boys because they are they have pride and they're boys. This is in response to George Takei saying that they should do this to take the power away from the Proud Boys and sort of, you know, pull the rug out from under them. And that was in response to Trump refusing to denounce the Proud Boys as a white supremacist group, which, to be clear, they are. Multiple U.S. agencies have said that they are a dangerous white supremacist group, and the Proud Boys have attempted to instigate various violent riots and things around the country, and have sown a lot of discord among people in the country. So, yeah, essentially, the Proud Boys hashtag, which members of the group have been using, was trending on Sunday after gay men on Twitter hijacked it and flooded the feed with photos of their loved ones and families with memes. Quote, "It feels like the movement for positive change for all is gathering momentum all the time, and I'm glad to be a small part of it. By coming together rooted in respect and love for each other, the world can be so much better." But Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys, said he doesn't see what the men are trying to accomplish. "I think it's hysterical," he told CNN. "This isn't something that's offensive to us. It's not an insult. We aren't homophobic. We don't care who people sleep with. People think it's going to bother us. It doesn't." He added, "One of the messages they want to send with this is that they're trying to drown out our supporters. They're trying to silence us. When you're trying to drown out other people's thoughts, I don't think there's anything progressive about that. Why don't these people just engage? Ha ha ha." And I'm going to immediately clap back with that with the paradox of tolerance, where the only thing to have a really truly tolerant society you can't tolerate is intolerance. These guys are the white supremacists. These guys are the assholes coming in and trying to, you know, basically, they are starting it. So people not tolerating their bullshit is not being intolerant. It's simply not putting up with assholes. Tarrio, a Cuban-American, is also the leader of the grassroots group Latinos for Trump. The Anti-Defamation League calls the Proud Boys' ideology misogynistic, Islamophobic, transphobic, and anti-immigration. All of those are true. Also, fun fact, one of the previous leaders of the Proud Boys once shoved a butt plug up his ass just to own the libs. Still not entirely sure what that logic was, but it is something that he proudly did, much like Caitlyn Bennett shitting her pants to own the libs. I love these people sometimes. Since Saturday night, the Proud Boys hashtag has been inundated with photos of gay men. Many people tweeted their support for these men. Quote, "Good morning to nobody except the gays who hijacked the Proud Boys hashtag," tweeted Jane Litvinenko. Other people used the opportunity to share their stories of love. "Next year, my husband and I will celebrate 25 years together. We had to move to Canada to legally marry and adopt two of our sons. We're back in the U.S., our family has grown, and we're fighting to save this country. Here's us voting for Biden, Harris, and a blue ticket, hashtag Proud Boys." Bryce Tachi, Bryce something tweeted. Yeah, this is just funny to me, and it's a nice way to sort of undermine the seriousness that these guys, that the Proud Boys, the fascist group, is trying to pull together for itself.
What exactly does it mean to be Western chauvinistic?
So they essentially believe that Western society is the peak of human civilization, i.e. meaning that the society is founded by white people in Europe, or the peak of human civilization. That's sort of their initial thing. And then that branches out to being like, oh, we're not racists, we just think that, you know, all the white people should be by ourselves, and we don't want any brown people coming in and ruining this for us. And the trans people, those are bullshit things. They don't exist for real. They're just a bunch of freaks. And, women should absolutely stay in the kitchen and just make us sandwiches, because men are the ones that really made everything in history, because that's completely fucking accurate, I say with the most sarcasm imaginable.
We could tell.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they're kind of your boilerplate, you know, they're not quite Nazi level. They don't have as many conspiracies about the Jews controlling everything, but they're just assholes. They're racist, sexist assholes.
This seems to me an effective way to fight any form of extremism is to make fun of it. And that can't be done if those extremists are being censored, because then no one will know who they are. But that's not what's happening here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the claim that they're being intolerated just for being made fun of, or the fact that they're being drowned out. I have a hard time understanding the logic behind that.
It's the card groups like this like to pull, where it's like, they're trying to silence us. They're trying to whatever, make fun of us so much for the tolerant left. And it's like, you know, it's the same mindset. And of course, they're not using that argument in good faith at all. They're trying to show that off to attract more people who would think like, oh yeah, these people aren't being very tolerant. Why don't we just listen to these guys? Why don't we give them a shot, huh? Their opinion must be equally valid. When it's really the same situation as the comic that I mentioned a lot, where it's one guy saying, I want to kill all black people, and the other guy saying, I want to stop this guy from doing that, even if that means using violence, and a guy in the middle saying, I literally can't tell the difference. You know, it's that.
Yeah, I don't think making fun of someone is intolerating someone.
No. So especially if their ideology is dumb.
Well, I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Like, I make fun of a lot of people all the time. That doesn't mean I, like, devalue them. So yeah. I don't know why they're automatically assuming that.
I don't think they actually believe it. They're just trying to use this to gain support from people who might fall for it.
Right. I'm just saying, I make fun of everybody. Like, I don't discriminate who I make fun of, and that doesn't mean I see them as lesser of a human being. But maybe deep down they know that their beliefs are worthy of being made fun of, or extra worthy, I should say. I think you can make fun of anyone's beliefs for that matter. So that's why they're claiming that they're being intolerated? I don't know.
Yeah. 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 Basically. Again, to make fun of them, I want to reiterate. First of all, one of the things is they like don't like masturbation or something like that. I can't remember much of that, but I'm pretty sure that's a big thing with these guys, where they're like, if they really don't like masturbation, they think that it makes you impure or some shit like that. And I'll say it again, one of the, was the founder of the Proud Boys, shoved a butt plug up his ass just to own the libs for some reason.
Yeah, that's a little suspicious. I think he's trying to open a sliding door just a little bit, if you know what I mean.
It was literally something that no one was like asking him to do. No one was daring him to do that. He just sort of did it and was like, and that proves to you that I'm more of a man or something. I don't remember what the situation was, but it was ridiculous and funny.
There's nothing manlier than being fucked in the ass by another man, so I suppose he would have a point.
That's very true. Completely masculine.
Is there anything else with this?
Not with this.
All right, what's just next?
Moving on from this, going up to Ann Arbor, Michigan. The town of Ann Arbor, the city, sorry. I mean, let's be honest. It's in Michigan. It's a town. It's not a city. The city of Ann Arbor has decriminalized psychedelic plants and fungi, including magic mushrooms. And police officers will no longer make them an enforcement focus. The council voted unanimously on September 21st in favor of a resolution declaring it the city's lowest law enforcement priority. It means that authorities won't investigate and arrest anyone for planting, cultivating, buying, transporting, distributing, engaging in practices with, or possessing, quote, entheogenic plants or plant compounds. The resolution defines entheogenic plants as plants and fungi that contain indole amines, tryptamines, and phenethylamines that can benefit psychological and physical wellness, support and enhance religious and spiritual practices, and can reestablish humans' inalienable and direct relationship to nature. That was a quote, that whole last bit. This move applies to ayahuasca, ibogaine, mescaline, peyote, psilocybin mushrooms, and other substances with hallucinogenic properties considered illegal under state and federal law. Additionally, the city council called upon the Washtenaw County Prosecutor's Office to halt prosecution of people involved in the use of such plants and plant compounds. A grassroots, yeah, baby, called Decriminalize Nature Ann Arbor, or DNA2, has been lobbying city officials to take up the issue. After some council members were apprehensive about supporting the group's proposal early in the year, some ultimately decided that they were persuaded by arguments centering medical and spiritual benefits of using psychedelics, particularly for mental health treatments. I wonder how many of these guys tried some shrooms in the meantime. It was just like, oh, fuck yeah, dude, this is so good. We should totally let this be allowed now. Advocates contend that non-addictive psychedelics can provide a pathway out of opioid addiction. Council members noted that any major violation of state or federal law, any use of the antidote plants that poses a threat to public health, safety, and welfare still could result in city law enforcement or involvement. So if there's like a huge fucking cartel operation, then that could do it. Psychedelic substances can be used to help address substance abuse issues, addiction, recidivism, trauma, post-traumatic stress, depression, anxiety, and other debilitating conditions, according to the resolution. Last year, Denver became the first U.S. city to decriminalize psychedelic mushrooms. The city was then followed by Oakland and then Santa Cruz in California, which decriminalized all entheogenic plants. What?
No, when you just said Santa Cruz, I was like, of course.
Yeah, this is a good move. I like to keep up on these things when it comes to decriminalization of illegal substances, because even if I don't necessarily take them, making things illegal does no good for anyone, because people are going to try to get their hands on it anyway, and it's going to be unregulated and dangerous. So decriminalizing it is one step closer to it being legal, which means that people can actually start using things safely with regulation and approval. I haven't tried shrooms. I would like to. They sound sweet. Yeah. Nice job, Michigan.
I wish I had done shrooms.
Uh-huh.
Back when I could do drugs. Now I have to give it all up, except for alcohol, because I'm about to work for the government in a couple of years. I had a couple opportunities to get some acid.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, I don't know, I guess I put it off. Not because I was, like, afraid or anything, but just...
Acid seems a bit strong for me. I think that's, like, the upper limit of what I would do. Like, I don't think I would ever try to do heroin.
Jesus.
Cocaine, I would try it. Acid, that's... Yeah, again, that's sort of like, eh. Because I've heard some people sort of just have, like, a psychological mental break on acid. Meanwhile, with shrooms, it doesn't really do that. It's still a hallucinogen, but it's more chill vibes, which I'm down with.
I'm willing to have another mental breakdown. That's okay.
Do shrooms leave any, like, trace? Are they tested for?
I have no clue. I'm not the one to ask about this.
I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah, I think if you were to make shrooms legal, I would want a law where you can only do it either in a park where there's no children around or indoors. I think, like, get caught with it in public, you should be fined, like, $50. And then the next time you're caught, if there's a record, then you get another $50, another $50. But I think as long as this country is still corrupt in terms of, like, pharmaceuticals, then we won't. Like, the process for legalizing weed and shrooms will be a lot slower.
Yeah.
At least that's my guess. I don't know for sure.
It's, you know, I'm glad that it's picking up steam as much as it has. It's definitely been delayed because of pharmaceutical companies. I think it's inevitable, eventually. Yeah. But yeah, pharmaceutical companies, you know, they have a stake in keeping people addicted to their shit, so they're gonna push against any alternative medicine that they can. Apparently, mushrooms won't show up on most routine drug tests, but certain specialized tests might detect them. So they won't show up on, like, a general 5-panel test. Same goes for 8, 10, and 12-panel tests. However, there are tests designed to detect mushroom use. They're much more costly to perform, so they generally aren't used unless there's a strong suspicion that someone has recently taken shrooms.
So what a bunch of snitches, bro. What a bunch of snitches. Why'd you have to take it a step further in making a drug test that can detect shrooms if most of them couldn't already? Where do you get off on that?
I think that's for cases where, you know, something has gone wrong already. It's not like a routine thing, but something has gone wrong. Someone's performance is slipping, or, like, there was a fucking accident, or someone killed someone because of something, and it seems clear that their mental state was a bit off. So in that case, they would test for shrooms to find out if they were. Because they would have to think already, maybe this person was on shrooms. They wouldn't just do it automatically.
Snitches. All of them. What else do you have?
Moving on from that, my last thing is just a tragic case of irony that I can't help but laugh at. The first person ever cured from HIV, Timothy Ray Brown, known as the Berlin patient, has died of cancer.
Ouch.
It's so fucked up, but it's like God was like, I wanted you to die and you're going to die. It's really tragic, but goddamn irony, right? Timothy Ray Brown, the first person known to have been cured of HIV when he had a unique type of bone marrow transplant, has died in California after relapsing with cancer. Known as the Berlin patient, he was cured of HIV in 2007. Doctors thought his leukemia had also gone into remission, but it returned in the last year. Brown has been remembered for his efforts to raise awareness of the deadly disease. He was 54 years old. Brown remained clear of HIV for more than a decade after being treated. He suffered a relapse of leukemia in the past year. His doctor said the blood cancer had spread to his spine and brain, and he had recently been in hospice care in his hometown of Palm Springs. His partner, Tim Hofkin, announced Brown's death on social media. It is with great sadness that I announce Timothy passed away this afternoon, surrounded by myself and friends, after a 5-month battle with leukemia. The American's case fascinated and inspired a generation of HIV doctors, as well as patients infected with the virus that causes AIDS, offering a glimmer of hope that one day a cure will be found. Adiba Kamaruzaman, president of the International AIDS Society, said she would mourn Brown with a profoundly heavy heart. So his doctor, Gero Hüther, Berlin, German doctor, I believe, took care of him in 2007 and took a chance on treatment for him. The treatment involved the destruction of Brown's immune system and the transplanting of stem cells with a gene mutation called CCR5 that resists HIV. Only a tiny proportion of people, most of them of Northern European descent, have the CCR5 mutation that makes them resistant to the AIDS-causing virus. This and other factors made the treatment expensive, complex, and highly risky. Most experts say it could never become a way to cure all HIV patients, because many of them would risk death just from the procedure itself. Sharon Lewin, a professor and HIV specialist at Australia's Doherty Institute, said Mr. Brown was a champion and advocate for keeping an HIV cure on the political and scientific agenda. More than 37 million people worldwide are currently infected with HIV, and the AIDS pandemic has killed about 35 million people since it began in the 80s. Medical advances over the past three decades have led to the development of drug combinations known as antiretroviral therapies that can help keep the virus in check, allowing many HIV-positive people to live with the virus for years. Most people with HIV or AIDS these days, they can live a fairly normal life as long as they can get the meds that they need. So it's come a long way from the 80s and 90s, where it was a death sentence, essentially.
How can you relapse on cancer, dog? That part of the article confused me.
Okay, well, so cancer, it's not like a disease. It's not like you can get infected with cancer. It's a mutation. It's just your cells mutating, and the genes in your cells that tell your cells to only reproduce this many times stop. So you just keep reproducing more cells, and you just keep growing. That's where tumors come from. And it's essentially that. It's just these various gene mutations that come from radiation from any number of sources, any carcinogens that can fuck up your DNA. So it's not like you get cancer and then you can get rid of it, because it can just come back because the mutation can pop back up. Or maybe it never really went away and it was just really small for a while and then it comes back. Interestingly, there's like very, very few cases of any, like, elephants dying from cancer, I think. And I don't think there's any known cases of whales dying from cancer. Because essentially in any living thing that lives long enough, there's a good chance that cancer is going to happen. Because again, it's just this random mutation that's going to pop up at some point. The severity of it can differ, but it's probably going to happen for any living thing. Whales and elephants, the bigger an animal gets, essentially, the longer it takes for the cancer to do anything, because it's still acting at a cellular level. The cells of an elephant are basically no bigger than the cells of a human. So in order for a cancerous tumor to have any effect on an elephant, it's got to grow it's got to grow a lot bigger and be around for a lot longer than it would be on a human. Because of that, because it has to be around for so long to actually do anything, there's basically what's known as a supercancer, which is the cancer itself gets cancer and kind of balances out, negates the cancer that's initially forming, and the cancerous tumor gets another mutation that essentially kills the rest of the cancer. And it's just sort of this interesting equilibrium balance that keeps the cancer on these big animals in check for so long. That doesn't have anything to do with this, I just think it's interesting. So whales are often riddled with tiny tumors that just can't get big enough to do anything, because they get their own little cancer that just protects the whale.
I see. That makes sense now. Is there anything else we have with this?
That is all I have.
All right, I'm just going to talk about one quick story. YouTube made a tweet, and they didn't get that much flack for this, but I think they would have gotten more shit for this had they not deleted it almost right away. Their tweet goes as follow. No one, absolutely no one, creators after talking for 15 minutes. Alright, let's jump straight into the video. Ha.
That's kind of funny, yeah. I mean, not the no one format, but the quote punchline, that's, you know, relatable.
Anyway, someone stated that basically it was a dumb thing to say just because YouTube was, you know, they basically created that monetization system. mm-hmm. where people drag out their videos and their lengths or whatever. And they said, we hear you, you're right, and we apologize. Our now deleted tweet was intended in good faith, but we missed the mark and did not reflect the spirit of the creator community that we love. Anyway, a lot of people said, yeah, I thought it was funny. How dare they? Because they had the fucking no one. Stop using the fucking no one meme format. It is not funny. Jesus Christ. It is the most overused meme in my life. I mean, more overused than Gangnam Style or any other obnoxious ass meme you could think of in the past 10 years. Jesus Christ. Everyone, every goddamn time I'm watching a motherfucking YouTube video, there's always some fucking 14-year-old that thinks he's so clever using the shitty-ass meme format. Now I know what people meant when they said normies are taking over everything. Just stop, bruh. Holy shit.
As I've pointed out and will point out every time we get to this, it doesn't even make sense. The format should be everyone says nothing. Literally everyone says nothing at all. Then this person says this thing. Because no one saying nothing implies that everyone is saying something. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, really. It's so fucking old. So goddamn old. Anyway, the most popular response to this tweet was, give me 60,100 billion subs as an apology. And then someone was like, at YouTube, I don't know who this person is, but you better get on it. Anyway, it seems rich to me how YouTube created some shitty monetization system where now people are constantly dragging out their videos to make money, and then they make fun of people for doing that. It just kind of shows you. It kind of reflects the nature of YouTube. I think that's why I like this story so much. So in this case, this is probably like the 10% of the was the air quote outrage justified. I'd say, yeah, I think people deserve to shit on YouTube for this. Because again, it's very reflective of their out of touch advertiser prioritizing head ass nature.
It was super tasteless and not at all self-aware.
Yeah, really. I'm not trying to cancel YouTube or anything. I fucking hate that word, by the way. This is just a side tangent. I hate the word cancel now. Mm-hmm. I just hate it. It's so overused. And the fact that there were some schmucks who decided to make a cancel con, it's like, dear God, what are you doing? Just stop. I wish people would stop using that word nowadays. I think it's lost its meaning. I think a lot of the people who are allegedly trying to be canceled, you know, they're in positions where they can rebound. But I think I just think cancel culture is now being blown up to a proportion. Like, that's just kind of inflated or oversaturated. I think the level that people perceive cancel culture is like now being like just out of proportion now, because I think there's enough people who realize like, oh well, people can come back from certain mistakes, and everyone has said regrettable shit on the internet, especially in the more Wild West days. But that being said, if someone is actually receiving a lot of shit, and it's kind of debatable, of course we'll still talk about it on here. But my point is, I'm really tired of that word. Anyway, let's move on to random quarantine picks, shall we?
Or QP.
What do you have?
I'm going to recommend the YouTube animated, not YouTube anything, but it's a series on YouTube. It's a little animated thing called Confinement. It's based on SCP lore stuff. a lot of time, I think SCP is definitely cringe because its fan base is just, like, too into it and thinks that it's the coolest fucking thing. But it is a cool, you know, it's a cool little idea of this just sort of community-driven lore of all these neat little monsters and urban legend and stuff. I think that's cool. But anyways, this guy, Lord Bung on YouTube made an animated series based around SCP stuff. And it's really well done. And it's pretty funny. The animation is pretty solid. Like, way more solid than you'd expect a YouTube animated thing to be. It's decently voice acted, and it can get, like, kinda heavy at times. It's sweet. I think there's about, I don't know, 7-8 episodes of it out now. And they get longer and better as they go on. So, and I think it's, you know, it's still going. So it's definitely worth a little watch. And you can get through it all in under 2 hours. So
you're recommending a channel?
Huh?
You're recommending a channel? Is that what you're recommending?
It's not the whole channel. It's just the series on the channel. The channel is Lord Bun. But it's compiled into a playlist. It's called Confinement.
Okay.
SCP Confinement. I don't know. It seems like a good little entryway into SCP lore. I don't know shit about SCP lore, but this seems like a decent entry point into it for anyone who wants to get into it but doesn't really know where to start. So, there you go.
Noise. I'll be recommending a YouTube video. It is called Grumpy Basset Hound Wants Attention. It has 2.4 million views. It is 53 seconds long. I found this video like a month ago, and I have watched it almost every day since then. And I think what brings me back to this video is this dog has the most grandpa face I've ever seen on an animal. And the noise, the grumping noises he makes, like the, like it fits his face so perfectly. Like, I've never seen the face of an animal encapsulate a grumpy old man so perfectly. Like, it's not just the angle that's being filmed at, because if you look at the other videos, his face is just the exact same. And one of my favorite comments on that video is, he looks so smart. He looks like he's about to tell me the best story of his childhood in old London. And that's exactly what this dog looks like. I guess that's why I watch this video every day. So anyway, the title is called Grumpy Basset Hound Wants Attention. Anyway, shall I move on to obscure and random questions?
ORQ.
Alright. If you could redo high school, what is one thing you'd change about it? Or I guess, change like what you did?
Don't take AP stat.
Yeah.
Fine. Before a certain tradition, before a certain show, say. And remember, folks, snitches get fucking stitches.
Christmas special if you're interested for more context.
Christmas special.
God, that was so... It feels like that was a lifetime ago when we recorded that episode.
That was over... That was almost 2 years ago. And that was a long session.
Yeah, if anyone's interested in, like, the roots of how Max and I got to know each other... And some more stories behind that. Listen to, I believe it's episode 29.5, Christmas special. It is only 2 hours long. Now, why do I say it's only 2 hours long? Well, because it took us 5 hours to record it. So
there's a lot of cut content.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Huh. If I could redo, I don't know. I used to think to myself that, like, I wish I would have done band instead of theater, because I used to play percussion, in the band section in middle school. But I guess I'm pretty happy with when I got involved with theater. Yeah. I guess there's a lot to be said about my academics, but if I could redo high school, I don't know if this technically counts, but I would apply to like different colleges. So there's this meme format where there's this car on a highway and it's suddenly like driving into like the exit, like last minute. It's just swerving into it. There's this college meme, application meme, where it's like two safety schools, like two medium schools, two reach schools, and then like the car's swerving onto the exit that says two safety schools, five reach schools, and that's exactly mm-hmm. what I did, and that's how I ended up at VCU. So don't do that. It's not advisable. However, sometimes I think to myself, like, if I had the chance to go to a school in a different state for the first 2 years, would I have still done that? Because otherwise, there wouldn't have been all those memories with you and Kaz. So I really do think about that from time to time. I think looking back, I probably would have actually stayed in Nova and just done Nova Community College, as long as I was able to transfer the credits to out of state.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think that's what I would have done. Huh. It's weird how you think about the decisions in life you've made. Anyway, if you could change the smell of anything, what smell and thing would you choose?
Oh, okay. That's interesting. See, now some people would think like, oh, I'd change the smell of shit or something like that. But no, you want to keep that smell because you want to know when you're near it. You want to know when you're walking past an alley and there's piss on the ground. You don't want to accidentally step into that shit. I need a second to think about this.
Huh. Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Someone said I'd make my cum smell like Chipotle and then put it on a sandwich and then eat it. Jesus Christ, dude.
Okay.
Maybe farts? I don't know, does it count, like, I wonder if it counts if you can, like, make something not smell like anything at all.
I would assume so, yeah.
I would either do that, I would make farts, like, smell like nothing, or I would make the smell of onions to be less strong, if that makes any sense. So, like, you would get the same scent, but it's not as strong. But I wonder if that would compromise the taste of it from a food chemist perspective.
It probably would. It would make it taste different.
Damn. Maybe that's not the move then. I don't know. I guess I'd still go with farts.
Fair.
Oh! You know what? What? That would be a bad idea. That would be a terrible idea. I was about to say cigarettes, but then, like, I'm sure that's part of the reason why some people don't do it at all is because of the smell. So, nah, I take it back. I take it back. It's a tough one, isn't it?
This is tough. This is tough. God.
You know, if you want, like, you could just answer this at the beginning of next episode.
Yeah, I got to think about this, man.
Wow, I think that'll be the first time we ever, like, had to skip it to another episode. That's interesting.
It's, like, a genuinely good question.
Yeah, props to simping for... Most of these questions we get off of Ask Reddit... Of course, the person who fucking asked this question on Ask Reddit is called /simpingforanimebabes.
yep, that tracks.
Oh, God. All right. All right, I gotta make this clear, okay, regarding last episode before we sign off. I would never actually intentionally run over someone. I should make that very clear. I felt like I could have given off, like, homicidiation vibes last episode when we were talking about vehicles. Look, you gotta understand, when you grow up and learn to drive in a place like LA or Nova, where drivers are just not only bad, but aggressive, you go to dark places, okay? I just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. So, if you don't, like, live in an area where there are aggressive drivers, consider yourself lucky. So, I just wanted to make that clear. I didn't want people to think, like, I was planning on becoming a real-life Mr. Mercedes. Yes, the thoughts are there, but that doesn't mean you're going to do it. And
I can't make that promise.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man, but we just got to say to them publicly that we won't do it. Anyway, that's all we got for this week, people. Peace, motherfuckers.
Woo!